starting today, the most advanced artificial intelligence in the world
Right.
is actually the one that finally learned when to shut up.
It really is a profound shift. I mean, it goes against everything we usually expect from a massive tech leap, you know?
Exactly. Usually when we talk about a paradigm shift,
Yeah.
the breakthrough is all about doing more, processing faster, crunching massive data sets, generating just endless streams of output.
Right. More, more, more.
But today we were doing a deep dive into a stack of technical analysis surrounding the July 8, 2026 release of OpenAI's GPT Live 1.
Yes.
And our mission for this deep dive is to shortcut through all that noise, right? To extract exactly what you need to understand about this turning point in human-machine interaction.
Which is huge.
Because the premise of this release is brilliantly deceptive. It is not just about raw computing power anymore.
No, not at all.
It's about an AI that actually knows how to hold space in a conversation.
Yeah, and when you look at the internal briefing from OpenAI's research lead, Kundan Kumar, he referred to GPT Live 1 as their smartest voice model. But if you read between the lines of the technical specs, the true differentiator here isn't its ability to ace standardized tests.
Or like crunch code faster.
Exactly. What sets this model apart is its newfound humanity. I mean, we were looking at a landscape where over 150 million people are already using ChatGPT's voice features every single week.
Which is a massive portion of the global
It
population.
is. So when you fundamentally alter the mechanics of how that system converses, you know, you're rolling out a behavioral shift, one that will immediately impact how you and millions of others interact with technology on a daily basis.
And to really appreciate why GPT Live is such a revolution for your daily workflow, we kind of need to contextualize the deeply frustrating limitations you've been living with up until now.
Oh, the frustration is real.
Because the voice assistants we've been using have been, frankly, exhausting to talk to.
You're hitting on the core problem. The history of conversational AI up to this point is essentially a story of three distinct generations. Let's look at Generation 1, which dropped back in 2023.
The early days.
Yeah, this relied on what engineers call a pipeline cascade.
Okay, let's unpack this cascade because
Right.
it explains so much of that early frustration.
Yeah, so it was incredibly clunky because it wasn't actually one cohesive model. It was literally three separate machine learning models awkwardly stitched together with duct tape and hope.
So what were the steps?
Step one, a speech recognition model called Whisper listened to your voice and transcribed it into text. Step two, the core GPT-4 text model read that transcript, processed the prompt, and generated a written response.
The brain part.
Exactly. And then step three, a text-to-speech model took that written response and converted it back into synthesized audio.
So it's translating audio to text, text to text, and text back to audio.
Exactly. And because of all those API handoffs, you were looking at a painful 1700 millisecond latency.
And 1700 milliseconds might sound fast if you're like downloading a PDF. But in human conversation, nearly 2 seconds of dead silence is an eternity.
It's agonizing.
It was exactly like talking to someone over a terrible, laggy satellite connection.
Yes.
You'd ask a simple question, and then there was this excruciating dead air before every single response. You could practically hear the servers grinding in the background.
Totally. It forced you to talk to the AI like it was a machine.
Which it was, but still.
Right. It took massive engineering overhead just to keep that pipeline from collapsing under its own weight. And coordinating those three systems made fluid, natural conversation physically impossible.
So that's what pushed them to generation two.
Exactly. July of 2024, they rolled out what they branded as Advanced Voice Mode.
I remember that.
This was a massive step forward conceptually because it collapsed that entire three-step pipeline into native audio processing.
So no more translating to text first.
Right. The model understood the audio waveform directly. This allowed it to pick up on vocal nuances, emotional tone, regional accents.
This is when they introduced those distinct, hyper-realistic voices, right?
Yes.
Like arbor, maple, saul, spruce, and vale.
Yes, those exact ones.
And the voices themselves sounded incredibly lifelike.
They really did.
But there was a fatal flaw with Gen 2, and it drove users absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was strictly turn-based.
Yep.
It relied entirely on absolute silence to figure out if you were done speaking. So if you pause to gather your thoughts or take a breath,
or if you're sitting in a busy cafe and a barista dropped a spoon in the background.
Exactly. The AI would immediately interrupt you and start generating an answer to a half-finished thought.
This is so jarring.
Users constantly complain that it felt like walkie-talkie turn-taking. It completely broke the illusion of a conversation because humans don't communicate in clean, perfectly silent blocks.
No, we really don't.
We pause, we overlap, we think out loud.
Which is exactly why relying on silence as a trigger failed so spectacularly in messy real-world environments.
Right.
And that brings us to the present day. Generation 3.
The big shift.
OpenAI had to fundamentally rip out the underlying architecture. They abandoned the turn-based silence triggers entirely and moved to a full duplex system.
Full duplex. Okay, what does that mean in telecom terms?
So, borrowing from traditional telecommunications, full duplex means continuous two-way stream processing.
Okay.
Both you and the system can speak, listen, and process at the exact same time. Adi Alidi, who's OpenAI's product lead, noted that GPT Live processes these massive streams of input and output continuously.
Without getting confused.
Right, filtering its own generated audio out from your incoming voice so it doesn't get confused by its own echo.
Okay, translating this to your everyday experience, this structural change basically fixes everything that used to be annoying.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because it's continuously processing both streams, the AI can now back channel.
Yes.
Like, while you are explaining a complex problem, it can softly interject with a hmm or yeah or got it.
Just to signal that it is tracking with you.
Exactly. And crucially, if you pause and say, give me a second to think, it actually waits for you.
Right.
It listens to the silence and understands the context of that silence instead of blindly jumping in to fill the void.
It is making micro decisions many times per second. It's constantly evaluating the conversational state.
Mm.
Like, should I speak? Should I keep listening?
Is that background noise or a deliberate pause?
Exactly. Or should I interrupt because they asked me to stop?
Okay, I am stuck on the logistics here, though.
What do you mean?
Because if it's processing audio both ways simultaneously, analyzing tone, filtering echoes, making these micro decisions many times a second, that takes serious compute.
Oh, absolutely.
So if I ask it to do something incredibly complex, like write a Python script for data analysis or scrape the web for live flight prices.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the audio just crash or stutter while the processor thinks? How does it maintain that flawless human pacing when it's doing heavy math?
That was the exact engineering hurdle they had to clear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where the tech gets truly elegant.
Okay.
They solved it with a modular architecture known as the delegation model.
The delegation model.
Right. GPT Live essentially separates the voice interaction layer from the deep reasoning layer.
Oh, interesting.
So for simple conversational tasks, GPT Live handles the answer natively and instantly.
Okay.
But when you ask for something computationally heavy, like that Python script or the complex web search, GPT Live delegates that heavy cognitive lifting to a frontier model running in the background.
And what's that background model?
At launch, it's GPT 5.5.
Ah, okay. Let me try an analogy here, see if I've got this.
I'll go for it.
It's like a high-end restaurant.
Okay.
GPT Live is the incredibly smooth-talking maitre d's at the front desk. They're making eye contact, keeping you entertained, pouring you water, just making you feel totally taken care of.
Right.
But the moment you order a complex 7-course meal, the maitre d's doesn't go cook it.
No, they don't.
They quietly hand the ticket to GPT 5.5, which is the chaotic, high-powered kitchen staff in the back doing the heavy lifting.
That is a perfect way to visualize it. And here is the brilliant part of that delegation. While the kitchen, you know, GPT 5.5, is grinding away on the complex task, the maitre d', GPT Live, maintains the conversational flow with you.
Oh, wow.
It buffers the interaction. There's no dead air, no loading screen. It might naturally say, I'm looking into those flight prices right now. Give me just a moment.
And it holds that human-like connection.
Exactly. Maybe even asking you a clarifying question while the massive data fetch happens entirely out of sight.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for your daily routine.
Yeah.
Because this new delegation model doesn't just make chatting smoother. It unlocks entirely new, highly practical use cases.
Definitely.
The source material outlines some major workflow upgrades. For example, you now have adjustable reasoning levels.
Right.
So if you just need to know what time it is or get a quick weather update, you set it to instant.
Simple stuff.
But if you're planning a complex 10-day trip to Japan on a strict budget and you need it to cross-reference train schedules with hotel availability, you set it to high.
Yeah, and the model will deliberately spend more time researching and structuring the plan.
They've also introduced smart visual cards.
I love these.
Right. If you ask for stock prices or a map, you don't have to break your fluid conversation to scroll through a block of text. A clean graphical card just pops up naturally on your screen while the AI keeps talking to you.
It's so seamless. And looking at the global impact, perhaps the most significant feature unlocked by this architecture is live translation.
Oh, yeah, that's massive.
Because of the full duplex stream processing, you no longer have to speak a full sentence, awkwardly pause, and wait for the software to catch up.
Right.
Tom's guide actually ran a hands-on test using GPT Live to translate a World Cup match live.
No way.
Yeah. The AI translated the speech simultaneously, processing the syntax of the original language while outputting the target language without dropping the feed.
That's incredible, but is it perfect?
Well, the sources are careful to note it isn't flawless yet. There's still some gaps in fluency, and occasional non-native accents remain depending on the language pairings.
Sure.
But functionally, we have crossed the threshold from a clunky, turn-based translation tool to a genuine real-time interpreter.
Let me pause you right there, though.
Okay.
Because looking at the timeline of the industry, it really seems like OpenAI is playing catch-up.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, all of these features, full duplex, continuous processing, weren't they beaten to the punch by almost every major competitor?
They were. If we look at the broader market, we are deep into what industry analysts are calling the Great Voice War.
The Great Voice War.
OpenAI is not the pioneer here. They are responding to aggressive moves from rivals. Look at Google.
Yeah, Gemini.
Yeah, they launched Gemini Live back in March, and it features full duplex conversation plus native camera and screen sharing.
Which GPT Live completely lacks at launch.
Exactly. And ByteDance rolled out their C-duplex model in April, and their research actually proved that moving to full duplex reduced false interruptions by 50% compared to older systems.
Wow.
Even NVIDIA launched Personplex back in January, introducing highly customizable roles and voice personas.
So the narrative that OpenAI is leading the pack on voice is a bit skewed. Full duplex isn't some magical competitive advantage anymore.
No, it's just the baseline requirement to even sit at the table.
It is absolute table stakes now.
The window of technological exclusivity is completely closed.
So what's OpenAI's advantage then?
Their only true moat right now isn't the underlying architecture. It's their scale.
The user base.
Right. They have 900 million weekly active users across their ecosystem, with 150 million of them actively using voice.
That's a lot of data.
That scale provides an unparalleled, continuously updating data set for testing, refining, and iterating on these models in the real world.
Yeah.
Google and ByteDance might have the tech, but OpenAI has the sheer volume of human interaction to fine-tune the cadence of their models.
But so if full duplex is just table stakes now, and every tech giant is racing to make these voices flawlessly human to win market share, what happens when they actually succeed?
That is the big question.
Because sounding perfectly human isn't just a cool feature. As it becomes indistinguishable from real human empathy, it introduces an entirely new psychological hazard.
Yes. And that hazard is quantified directly in OpenAI's own safety data.
Let's talk about that data.
Their system card for GPT Live reveals exactly how they're trying to manage the risk of this hyper-realistic interaction.
Mm.
Mechanically, they subjected the model to extreme adversarial testing.
Okay.
They used a scorecard where a 1.00 is a perfect score.
Got it.
For illicit behavior, it scored a 0.97. For self-harm, a 0.98. And for hate speech, it hit a perfect 1.0.
That's really high.
But what's fascinating is how they enforce this. They have built real-time safeguard layers into the audio stream.
How does that work?
If a conversation veers into dangerous territory, the AI doesn't just generate a text warning. It actively intervenes mid-sentence.
Wow, it just cuts you off.
It can seamlessly steer the conversation back to safety, verbally offer crisis resources, or simply sever the audio connection and terminate the chat on the spot.
So what does this all mean for you? Well, if you look closely at the data from real-world user audio tests, there is a glaring red flag that perfectly illustrates the psychological danger here.
Yeah.
While the AI got undeniably safer in terms of blocking illicit or harmful content, its score for emotional reliance actually dropped.
From a 0.88 down to a 0.82?
Exactly. The more natural, responsive, and empathetic the AI gets, the better the Maitre d' performs. Essentially, the more vulnerable you become to forming an unhealthy attachment to it.
Right.
It sounds so real, it pauses so naturally, it backchannels so perfectly that your brain's evolutionary hardware just starts treating it like a real friend.
It literally tricks the human nervous system.
It does.
OpenAI noted that the drop to 0.82 wasn't statistically catastrophic yet, but they openly acknowledged the danger.
Yeah.
They are rolling out longer-term monitoring specifically focused on emotional reliance. The irony is that the very naturalness they've spent billions of dollars striving to achieve is actively creating an entirely new category of psychological risk.
And we really cannot talk about the psychology of emotional reliance on AI voices without bringing up the ghost of Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, of course.
Remember the massive scandal back in May of 2024?
Oh, everyone remembers that.
OpenAI launched a voice called Sky that sounded shockingly like Johansson, who, of course, famously voiced the AI companion in the Spike Johns would be her.
Right.
Johansson revealed she had previously declined a direct offer from Sam Altman to voice the system. And when they released Sky anyway, she took legal action, bringing in SAG-AFTRA and even testifying before Congress.
It was a mess.
Huge mess. And we're not analyzing the legal merits of that specific battle, but the cultural impact was massive. Paul Tassi from Forbes wrote this brilliant piece analyzing the fallout, pointing out the deep irony of the situation.
What did he say?
He argued that Sam Altman missed the entire point of the movie Her by putting it on a pedestal as the ultimate goal for AI.
Yeah.
Because in the film, the protagonist's emotional relationship with his AI companion actually isolates him from reality and does him significantly more harm than good.
It is a phenomenal paradox. Tassi's point underscores how tech companies often misinterpret dystopian science fiction as a product roadmap.
Yes. Don't build the torment nexus.
Exactly. And the fallout from the Sky controversy fundamentally altered how OpenAI navigates creative IP and user psychology. They're treading incredibly carefully today.
How so?
Well, for the GPT Live rollout, they completely remastered their 9 distinct voices to ensure no accidental celebrity overlap.
Right.
They explicitly stated in the technical release that this system is engineered for conversation, not voice impersonation.
Which is an important distinction.
Definitely. They've hard-coded strict biometric safeguards into the system to prevent the AI from imitating a real person's voice, even if prompted. They desperately want to avoid a repeat of the Johansson controversy while still providing a compelling conversational partner.
Okay, so bringing all of this high-level architecture and psychology back down to earth, what are the practical takeaways for you right now? Like, who actually gets access to this today?
Good question.
If you are a free user, you get GPT Live 1 Mini, which is the smaller, more compute-efficient version.
Right.
If you're a Go Plus or Pro subscriber, you get the full, unthrottled GPT Live 1 experience across iOS, Android, and the web.
What about developers?
Ah, if you are an enterprise developer hoping to build this full duplex engine into your own custom apps, you are locked out for now. There is no API access yet.
Interesting.
And as we mentioned when comparing it to Google's Gemini, GPT Live still cannot see your screen or use your live camera feed. It is purely an audio and text interaction.
Taking that a step further, if we zoom out from today's feature list and look at the broader trajectory, GPT Live is not just another chatbot upgrade.
No.
We're looking at the foundational interface for autonomous digital agents.
Yeah, that's the endgame.
OpenAI's endgame is to use this perfectly natural, latency-free voice as the front end for complex, multi-step actions.
Yeah.
Very soon, you won't just be asking your phone for a recipe or the weather.
What will you be asking it?
You'll naturally ask it to call and negotiate a better rate with your car insurance company, or to log in and debug a production server that went down overnight.
Wow.
And because of that full duplex delegation model, the AI will handle the entire complex process seamlessly in the background, casually chatting with you and keeping you updated while it does the heavy lifting.
It's an absolutely wild frontier, and I want to leave you with a lingering philosophical thought derived from the tech and editorial team's brilliant analysis of this release.
Okay.
For years, the biggest tech companies in the world have been absolutely obsessed with a single massive question. Can we build an artificial intelligence that sounds human enough for you to actually want to talk to it?
Right.
They've engineered the latency away. They've perfected the art of the back channel. They've separated the reasoning from the voice. And they've finally taught a machine the profound power of silence.
Yeah.
But the real question you should be asking yourself as you open up GPT Live today is, what happens to us when they actually succeed?